Good morning, St. Paul. Welcome to church. We're excited that you're here, even if it's through a screen. We do have a few announcements for you this morning. Wednesday night, Picnic on the Quad is back. I told you it would be back. It's the first one for the month of December. We're going to have pulled pork sandwiches and grilled chicken sandwiches. We hope that you'll be there. Bring your $5, bring your blankets because the weather's getting a little more chilly, and bring your chairs, bring your family, and bring a friend. And we'd love to see you. We also have these awesome new lights that a few members put together for us over the quad, and we really hope that you can be there to enjoy that with us. December is St. Paul's month to fill the shelves at Winton Neighborhood Network. As we're gearing up for Christmas, I'm sure you're gearing up for holiday items and things that you need to make for the Christmas season and all your Christmas parties. So if you're at the grocery store, just swing by and get a few things that you can donate to the network. Or if you're just around your house trying to decide what you're going to cook for your family, just see if there's anything extra in your pantry that you can donate. You can bring it to the church office, or you can deliver it straight to the network. Messengers of Love is just 1 week away, and if you haven't signed up, we hope you'll do so. Messengers of Love delivers poinsettias to those that are confined to their home due to illnesses, or it's any family that has lost a loved one in the last year. If you'd like to be a part of this ministry, it's not too late, and we'd love for you to join. Just be sure you reach out to Grace Bailey for more information. This Thursday, our Real Women's Ministry will be meeting. They're kicking off the Advent season by making Christmas wreaths with fresh greenery. You provide the greenery, and we'll provide the snacks. The cost is $25. We'll be meeting in the Fellowship Hall, and it'll start at 6:30. If you'd like to be a part of this, we'd love for you to join. Just be sure you RSVP to Grace Bailey. This is all of our announcements this morning. Now join me in the reciting of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Good morning, St. Paul. Our scripture reading today comes from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7.
The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of shadow of death, upon them hath the light shine. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest. And as men rejoice when they divide the spoil, for thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his opposer, as in the day of Midian.
For every battle of the warrior is worth confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel or fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth ever forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Have a great week.
Now, I know it's not quite December yet, but I'm kind of one of those girls that likes to decorate before Christmas, around Thanksgiving. Brad, my husband, he doesn't really like it. He's kind of a Grinch. He doesn't like music or decorations before December. But I think decorating at Thanksgiving is really appropriate because we're transitioning over to December, which is when we should be the most thankful. We're remembering Jesus's birth and we're celebrating it and we're giving thanks to God for giving us the greatest and most important gift that he has ever given us, and that's his son, Jesus. Let's pray. Dear God, let our thankful hearts carry over into Christmas, and may we eliminate the distractions and focus on what we are celebrating. Let us be thankful for Jesus. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
To know the story is true, that God will Well, happy Thanksgiving, St. Paul. I hope that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving and that on this Sunday morning, maybe you're holding on to for lunch for that last turkey sandwich. I know that I will. That's one of the side effects of Thanksgiving that I like is that all the leftovers go home with me.
That's an effect that goes to my sides.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. So why not add from the COVID 10 or 19, throw in Thanksgiving and a little bit of Christmas, and we'll just make it all the COVID 25. But actually, John, there was something. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, so it's right around the beginning of November. I went home to grab some lunch real quick, and on my way back to the church, I was driving on Whitesville Road, and I'm normally not a fan of Christmas music before it's time for Christmas.
Right.
And so this was, I think it was maybe November the 1st, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm in the car, I'm driving down Whitesville Road, about where St. Mark United Methodist is, and I'm flipping the channels, and I hit the local channel that's already playing Christmas music. And in a non-COVID world, I would have been in disgust and waving
it's too
my
early.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Waving my flag of I can't believe they're doing this now. You know, but I have to tell you, I listened to it the whole way in, and so I've been hitting the Christmas channel already, I remember the song. The first song that was on was We Need a Little Christmas. We need a little Christmas right now, and I know a little bit about the song. It's tied to a play back in the 60s. And if you, St. Paul, if you know the play, I can't think of the name of the play. Angela Lansbury is the lead in it. And she plays this New York socialite. And in the play, the plot of the is she, her brother passes away, and so she's left to raise her nephew. And it's during the Great Depression and the highs and the lows and the struggles that they have. And so if you know the play, or better yet, if you know the play, email Laura Marvette. It's laura@stpaulunitedmethodist.com. You should see that on your screen right now. And even if you don't know the name of this play, just email Laura what your favorite Broadway play is, and then maybe give her a reason why. She wants to know that, and she actually told John and I the other day that there's something missing in her life, and that she just doesn't know what people like to watch when it comes to Broadway. So you could actually meet a need in Laura's life. Laura@stpaulunitedmethodist.com.
Yeah, another need is she didn't really need
that's
any more emails.
That's exactly right. Don't tell her, all right? So, but it's so in the play, she's left to raise her nephew. It's in the Great Depression. And, you know, obviously, Great Depression, there's high unemployment, there's despair, defeatism, there's fear, there's polarization among people. And so I was driving back to the church. I thought about, you know, we're not in the Great Depression, but there are some similarities in our day and time. And, you know, so I was listening to this song. I thought, you know, we need a little Christmas. And we need a little Christmas right now. I mean, actually, the question I'm getting asked now more than any other question is, are we going to have Christmas Eve services? And stemming from the idea of are the numbers going to be so high? That and it's not just a Christmas Eve service. I think the question behind the question, or at least the desire behind the question, is what we want is hope and the peace that comes with not just the Advent Christmas yeah. season, but the hope and peace that comes with a Savior.
And there's so much longing and anticipation, isn't there?
It is.
Throughout the Scripture. I mean, you just described something so mm-hmm. real. And over and over and over again, I hear that what they miss the most is the fellowship, mm-hmm. being together, being in the sanctuary. And this is really throwing us into everybody, into
sure.
a new reality that has pushed against, you know, this hope, this,
right, right.
this anticipation of something better. And this is obviously nothing new, but the disconnect is always deep within. Is our hope and our hope and our anticipation,
mm-hmm.
and how that actually is connected to God's promise and the realization of that promise.
Yeah.
And because we never know what that would look like, but because we always live in that present.
Sure. That O come, Emmanuel hymn that we sing every Christmas. So I'm longing to want to just hear it and sing it in our sanctuary. The two verses that just always, whenever we sing this hymn, the two verses I just look for is obviously the first one, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. You're talking about that anticipation and that longing that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. And then, of course, the chorus, rejoice, rejoice. And then this is the one I really like too. O come, thou dayspring from on high, and cheer us by thy dawning nigh. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. When we think about Israel's history, I mean, obviously we can look at it from our perspective, say Great Depression or even what we're going through now in our day and time. But, there are a number of points of connection in Israel's history and this idea of longing tied to anticipation.
Over and over and over again. And it seems that what has been recorded in the scripture are these moments in people's lives where the outcome is catastrophic.
Right.
The outcome is impossible unless God,
right, yeah,
steps in.
Sure.
Unless God acts. I think of two off the top of my head. Is one is centered around the Genesis 12 and the Genesis 15
promise with Abraham.
I mean, in Genesis 12. He says, go to this land. God tells Abraham, I will show you. And even in there is a little bit of what's that going to be like? What's that land going to be like for me right now?
I mean, could you imagine that one night you're just minding your business and all of a sudden, hey, guess what? It's time for you to go.
Well, first I got to be in a place where I'm minding my business.
Yeah. Exactly right. Exactly. That's another sermon coming next week, So.
But it's this, he says to Abraham, and I will give you this land later on in chapter 15. This is your land. I will give you this land. And to your descendants, of course, Abraham had no descendant.
Right.
And it was
at
that time that he says, this time next year, you will have a son. And how often, I mean, even in Abraham's life, we imagine that that's going to be a part of our reality, a part of our storyline in our lifetime. And even when, that stuff didn't happen, like God was giving him a son or an heir and stuff, Abraham and Sarah kind of came up with their own plan to help God, if God really needed help. But
that's where I live.
Hey, God, I'm here to help.
That's exactly right. You're too slow here. We got to get this thing going, so.
But it was 500 years later till that promise became a realization.
Right.
The Israelites are on the east side of the Jordan River. They had, the people over there, a million plus people, it's a new generation from Egypt, and they had heard about what God was going to do, and they were the receivers of that. They were at that place that they were going to step into this new reality. Joshua and Caleb, those were two that actually were in Egypt and kind of lived through the plagues and the bondage and saw the rise of the leadership of Moses. But this promise stretches all the way back. That was going to become a realization all the way back to Abraham, 500 years. But that promise was told over and over and over again from generation to generation to generation. And how many times between that half a millennium, there's this push inside of us to give up.
Sure.
To make our own way.
Going back to what you preached a couple of weeks ago on the story within a story. Mm. The meta narrative of God's saving history, promise with anticipation, and then how that gets played out in Abraham's life and Joshua's life. I mean, just one right after the other, but it still sits with this idea of this longing for something.
Right.
And you also mentioned another example.
Yeah, and so the promise that starts with Abraham, there is this ultimate if you will, embedded narrative, that overarching narrative of the Messiah coming,
sure.
this promise. And,
absolutely.
You know, throughout, you see it in Genesis 3, you see it really in the prophets that
right.
are prophesying about this. But and after Israel takes the land of Canaan and it's distributed, and they go through the judges, they go through the kings, they come to this place where now they're in exile.
Right.
And another catastrophic event, another catastrophic moment where living through that, I mean, it's easy for us so many years later to look through
right.
our rearview
sure,
mirror and make
sure.
judgment calls, well,
absolutely.
You should have done this, but I mean, if we imagine those moments that we have been in and those moments that we live through, it's hard to do that.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And so they're in captivity, and they get to this place of utter despair.
Oh, absolutely.
Utter
yeah.
despair.
Yeah.
And so Ezekiel is brought to this valley of dry bones in Ezekiel 37, which on the onset is just the picture of devastation, mm-hmm. impossibility.
Sure.
And God said, the Lord says to Ezekiel, is there life here? Could these bones live again?
Right, right.
You know? And
which
of course,
the answer would be absolutely not. I mean, you know.
Well, yeah, that would be.
Yeah, for me. I mean,
that's
just
right.
At, yeah, just looking out
and,
at it. Yeah.
And looking, and obviously if God is asking that question and stuff is, yeah, God, if you think there can be. But then the Lord does this. Instead of saying the word that brings life to these inanimate objects, these
right,
bones,
right.
tendons and muscle and all these things and flesh becoming people, instead of saying it, and Ezekiel's a bystander, God, the Lord says to Ezekiel, we'll speak life into them.
Yeah. Two times.
Yeah,
speak, prophesy.
Yeah, but, speak
two
life.
Times, yeah, two times. That's
and
awesome.
The hesitation, almost certainly the hesitation. Well, I guess, God, if you say so
right,
and,
right.
and stuff like this, but in the back of my mind, we're like the man in Mark's gospel, God, Lord, I believe, help me overcome my unbelief.
Sure.
And it's something that is so, it's bigger than us that, you know, God obviously is orchestrating. Nothing's taken him by surprise, but the restoration of Israel and those promises, to live into those promises, to live through the hope and anticipation and despair, and realize from a 30,000 foot perspective that God is still in our midst.
Right.
I mean, I would feel, I really would, that, okay, God, I really believe that you've done all these things, and you now are asking me to take this step of faith, to trust you, to have confidence in you. I don't know what tomorrow looks like. But in the back of my mind, the question is, okay, God, maybe you have given up on me already.
Right, right.
You know, now,
sure.
you know, before, yes, I've seen you work before. I've seen you interact and step into those moments. But now, God, I really think that you've given up on me.
It's easy to do that. I mean, I think about faith. You know, faith is this always in the present tense. And, you know, it's easy, I think, for us. I mean, I would imagine it's true for Ezekiel or I mean, even Abraham, if we were to go back to that promise where Abraham, you know, there's years into it and finally says, well, God, you know, where's my inheritance? Eleazar,
yeah.
you know, he's the one, you know. And I think back in my own life, there's, you know, one of these days, I guess we could sit down and do, you know, a 10 sermon series of just all these different marks or points where God has been faithful. And so, I mean, it should be that we just say, oh, look at this every single time. You know, God has been faithful. Why would he not be faithful at this present moment? Because these circumstances have always been different than the one before, and yet the consistency is God's faithfulness. And yet what's required, and it takes courage, and it takes, it takes a swimming out into the deep end of the pool that says, all right, I'm going to trust you again.
Yeah.
I'm going to speak into these bones that look like they're just as dead as they can be. It's amazing how God works that way.
And Jesus, when Jesus steps onto the scene, that is when everything changed from anticipation to the living into the promise
that's
of
right.
the Messiah.
Yeah, to me, that's what I mean, when I think about just this season, and one of the reasons why I'm just longing for Christmas to get here is as fast as it can, is just the, again, the holding of the incarnation of God that is in Jesus Christ. Part of what we celebrate at during Advent and Christmas is, yes, that has happened, and then there's still this anticipation that the fullness of that, the culmination of that, is coming. And that's what I think we need today, maybe more so than other years, and is just this holding again in its rawness of the grace and the power of God that is manifested in Jesus Christ. And it's one thing to, you know, we talk about a Savior and we talk about a Messiah and we talk about a Lord. I think sometimes we have a tendency to just keep it in these theological terms, but to embrace it again, where he has come and he is coming. And in that meantime, it is okay. In that meantime, that, you know, the consistency of God's faithfulness that actually transforms our longing. That adds to our anticipation, and to hold that again. I mean, even in this year that we find ourselves in, and I hear often where people will say, "Well, I cannot wait for 2020 to leave," and I understand where they're coming from, but there's part of me says, "Well, just wait for a little bit more, and don't miss this last little piece." Because I think now we really need to hold again just the what God has done in incarnation and what God will do in second coming. Mm-hmm. And the bookends of that.
Yeah.
You know, to just kind of rest in that it really is going to be okay. One of the things that that always is, I'm in awe of, is how, you know, God obviously provides a way of salvation in Jesus Christ. And I mean, it's something God does even without us. And so there's one level where we're just the receivers of it. But one of the things that has always thrilled me is that God, in his just grace and mercy, allows us to participate.
Wow.
I mean, you know, so it's not just where we receive Jesus, you know, we in faith, and there's that bond that's created between us and God. But it's not just where it's a one flow type system where, you know, what's woven into the very beginning. And we could even go back and probably trace this back from Genesis, where God gives, we receive, and then at the same time, he brings us along to be a part of establishing that kingdom. You know, that to me is, I'm just humbled by that. Whether we see that in ministry, whether we see that in other people's lives, and even this year at Advent, one of the things I think is a way that we really can own that again this year is to be involved with something that St. Paul's been asked to do, and that is to come alongside another ministry inside of our community that I know many of you are very familiar with. It's the True Springs area, Rob and Carrie Strickland. Some of you know their story. They basically moved into the Bibb City Mill District area about 15 years ago, and with an idea that said, we're going to create our life here. And out over these last 15 years, there's obviously a school, True Spring Academy. There's a church that they're involved, and they're knee deep with everything that's going on in that community. One of the things they're going to do in 2021 that I'm excited about is that they're starting this job training initiative, and they're going to have about four or five different disciplines, different types of jobs, and maybe every few months they're going to have that discipline or those right. persons come in, and they're going to train some of the people in that area. I think about, people that you talk about despair and defeatism and, you know, those that are on the fringes of our society, it's one thing to preach a message of hope, but when you actually put that into life, that's a little bit harder. You know, it's almost like that idea of say, hey, God bless you, God be with you, and then their circumstances don't change. And so one of the ways that people can change their life inside of our community, one is with education, the other one is with a job. And but what they need more than anything else is they need a place for childcare. They, you know, while either a parent or parents are engaged in job training, there needs to be a safe place for their kids. And so we get a chance here at St. Paul to participate with them. This is what I want you to consider actually during this Advent Christmas time, is to come alongside them with them. They are able to purchase a house that's in that area. Actually, it's right next to them. But they need help renovating the house. St. Paul, I would like for St. Paul to be the ones that help True Springs and the True Springs renovation project renovate that house, so that in the first quarter next year, they actually have a place for child care for those parents that are trying to better themselves with job training and right. to learn a certain skill, and to actually to move into the workforce. It's not just that their life changes in 2021 with job training. It's that idea of it changes even going forward because of the ability to work. It's an ambitious goal for us here at St. Paul. The estimated cost for the renovation is about $40,000. Again, True Springs is able to purchase the home, but they need help with the renovation. And I think St. Paul is in a unique position this year in that meantime of incarnation coming and in the meantime of waiting for second coming to actually participate with God and to be an instrument of hope inside of our community. And I think we can do this by engaging with a very successful ministry inside of our community, True Springs, come alongside with Rob and Carrie Strickland. So I hope that you will take this to heart, and that over this Advent season that you or maybe your family, or perhaps if you're involved in a job that sometimes looks for an agency or a ministry to give to in the Advent Christmas time, I hope you'll consider this. Obviously, from now, this is the first Sunday in Advent, so we're kicking this off as an Advent offering to participate with the True Springs renovation project. But there'll be more information all throughout Advent. But I wanted you to hear it this morning, in this Sunday where we need a little Christmas. On a Sunday where we want to engage again, not just the longing that we all right. have, but the solution for our longing, which is that we find it in Jesus Christ. Let us pray today. Oh God, as we give thanks for your love and your mercy, and that you meet us where we are. At the same time, oh Lord, that your goal is twofold. Because of Jesus Christ, you care about personal transformation. Mm-hmm. Transformation from the inside out. And that is something that each of us as an individual and then together as a community, we give thanks for, we acknowledge our need for and our longing for you to continue that work that has been created. We know that you're faithful and just, and that you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus. At the same time, oh God, we are humbled that you give us an opportunity, that you invite us to participate with you. And we're able to do that in so many different ways. This season, we're able to do it in our own backyard. And so what we pray, God, is that you would use our giftedness, you would use our resources in a way, not just for this one particular project, although that's what our aim is for this season, but the continual effects that one gift will do for those families of next year, and then for families long down the road, generational changes that could come from this. And all of this, oh God, we're humbled. We're thankful, oh Lord, as we begin this season of Advent, we wait, and we want to hold again and to acknowledge and to bask in the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. For all this, O God, we're grateful, and for so much more, we give thanks, and we pray this now in your name. Amen.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thy justice here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, desire of nations bind all peoples in one heart and mind. From dust thou brought us forth to life. Deliver us from earthly strife. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.